right in this area.
So thank you everyone for staying till the very last session of the day. So this is agenda item 7 on the board GAC recommendation implementation working group scheduled for 18:30 on Saturday 10 March for 60 minutes. And please, again, remember to state your name and affiliation for transcript purposes when you're called upon. So thank you for coming back at time. So this is basically the Board GAC Recommendations Implementation Working Group meeting. I was just wondering whether we need to change the name of the working group. It's not becoming indicative anymore. So this group was initially formed to implement the recommendations of ATRT of the Accountability and Transparency Review Teams 1 and 2, and now it's looking at the effectiveness of GAC advice to the board and working on enhancing the GAC board relationship. So we have a few things to discuss today, and I think, David, you already have a few slides for us, so...
Thank you, Manal. David Olive from ICANN.org. We'd just like to put up the agenda for today. Here are the 6 points. Timeline for the board consideration of GAC advice from ICANN 61. Suggestions to improve structure of the communique. Number 3, the use of the action request register for tracking of GAC advice. Number 4, open GAC advice items. And number 5, new GAC participation, training, and other programs, and then any other business or other topics as 6. If there's agreement, Madam Chair, we would have you move forward with that.
So any suggestions or objections to the agenda? Yeah, if not, then please let's move forward.
I will turn it over to my colleague, Christine Ouellette, to go through the first topic, GAC advice consideration timeline. Christine?
Just let me shortly introduce this. Basically, if you go back to history, there's been a lot of changes over time. Initially, it was all very fluid.
Sorry, Martin, because the transcripts are not right. So let me just say...
I'm not Christine Willett.
Yeah, apologies. I should have mentioned this at the beginning. So the board GAC working group is co-chaired, of course, by the GAC and the board. So we have Martin co-chairing this working group from the board side. So I'm sorry, Martin, over to you.
Thank you, Martin Botterman, for the record. Good. So, again, the history is a history of improvements over time in board GAC collaboration. And coming from a time where prior to 2013, everything was really very ad hoc. We moved towards a time where the GAC communique came in 2013, which helped and improved the communication already. And yet, the responses sometimes took a lot of time. And to enhance the predictability and the ability of the GAC to be better able to deal with also the responses of the board, we've committed to a new timeline. And it's exactly this timeline that Christine will present. This has been presented in Hyderabad, and we've kept to that, and would like you to hear and have your comments on that. Christine?
Thank you, Martin. Christine Ouellette, ICANN.org. As you said, as Martin mentioned, this is the general timeline that the ICANN board and supported by the ICANN.org has been endeavoring to follow for consideration of GAC communiques since the Hyderabad communique. Roughly between ICANN meetings, there are somewhere between 14 and 18 weeks in general throughout the year, and we have developed a timeline of activities that aligns to have board consideration of the communique roughly by week 12 in advance of the next ICANN meeting, optimally 4 weeks prior to the next ICANN meeting. Next slide. Specifically for a San Juan communique from ICANN 61, we have a more aggressive timeline that we are going to endeavor to pursue. There are 15 weeks between ICANN 61 and ICANN 62. However, the board has made it a practice to consider the communique and adopt a scorecard at their intersessional workshops. And that is at present scheduled for week 8 following ICANN 61. So this is a very aggressive schedule that the org will endeavor to support the board to pursue. I will caveat this that depending on the complexity and nature of the issues that are in the communique, there could certainly be challenges in maintaining to this schedule.
Yes, thank you very much. Just to also show, there's a couple of elements. One is the interaction with other stakeholders in ICANN. The other thing is we as a board really want to make sure that the scorecard that you get in the end is a solid one, which is why we try to have it ready for full board discussion and decision in the first upcoming board meeting after the communique. And this time, again, this leads to the aggressive timeline, which makes that in about 8 weeks from now and about 7 weeks before the next GAC meeting, you will have that.
Thank you, Martin, and thank you, Christine. And if you allow me, we can just pause after every agenda item to seek the feedback, because they are not necessarily related. So if we can make this interactive. And so allow me to give also GAC colleagues a bit of background on this, because we received a request from the board to share questions we would like to discuss here, and this was before we received the scorecard in response to the GAC communique. So this issue was raised that we would like to have the scorecard earlier so that we can have an accurate list of questions to share with the board. Again, as mentioned by Christine and Martin, it's a bit challenging due to the reasons that were mentioned, and this is really an aggressive timeline for the board. So we truly appreciate your considering to try as feasible, and I also think it's a mutual understanding, so you would also understand that we might fine-tune our list of questions depending on the scorecard whenever we receive it. So I'll stop here and see if we have any comments from GAC colleagues before we proceed with the following agenda item. So if not, then can we please proceed, Christine?
Thank you, Christine Ouellette, ICANN.org. The next slide speaks to suggestions on changes, potential changes, to improve the structure of the GAC communique. Martin, may I address? Would you like me to read this or shall you?
Yeah, it's I think basically what we have seen is a very well-structured communique for which we from our side don't have specific requests. There's two issues with that. We would like, if there is an ask to the board, that it's in that one section so we don't have to judge ourselves whether we need to respond questions that we might take out of the rest. That's the one thing. And we also talked about whether open issues should be repeated or not. And we feel that's not necessary, in particular because now with the new use of the action response or the action request register, we keep well track of the open issues. So we can always look and see which issues are still open. And either when the GEC or when the board has comments on that, that's a good point on bringing that together.
So thank you, Martin. Again, this was brought up specifically because of the section of the GEC communique that's called follow-up on previous GEC advice. This caused a little bit of confusion over the past two communiques. We kept expecting responses to this part of the communique, and the board kept answering just responding to the GEC advice to the board. So again, we were thinking how to deal with this, and then we found out that those pieces of advice are already flagged as open in the register. So, and this is a question to us here. I was wondering whether do we still need this section of following up on previous GEC advice, or we can just, if they are open and they are marked as open, this is enough for us. And the question to you, Christine and David, basically is, how can we as GEC members know whether this is open or not? Is the system online now? Or, I mean, for the time being, how can we make sure that this has not been a closed case and we are thinking it's still open?
Yes, I think that links in very well to the next action point as well, the use of the action request register. And you have some slides on there, please.
Thank you, Christine Ouellette. Yes, the next slide speaks to the action request register. So this is the internal tracking tool that the ICANN org is using to track a variety of advice to the ICANN board as well as correspondence. We put it in place to track GEC advice back in June of 2017, and the org went back and reviewed all of the advice provided by the GEC in the communiques going back to Beijing at ICANN 46. We discussed this at ICANN 60 in Abu Dhabi, and we shared with the BGRI and the GAC the list of advice, what we called historical advice, going back 5 years. We documented evidence of the board's consideration and responses to address and take action on that advice, and we presented that inventory in Abu Dhabi. So going forward, we would look to your point and question, Manal, we would look to agree on that inventory and the status of items, and then we could publish that inventory and the status of those items in an agreed-upon place, both on the GEC website and or on ICANN.org, and update that as the status changes. That is how we are proceeding with advice from the other advisory committees. So to that note, after the inventory was presented at ICANN 60, the ICANN board asked the BGRI and the GAC for feedback on that inventory of items. And I'm going to go, I have a couple more slides going through some of the status of the open items. But in general, all items have been considered by the board. There are 15 items pending ongoing community work and 11 items pending implementation work. And those are covered in the next slides. But I'll pause there.
So any comments or questions from GAC colleagues? So super. Then let's proceed, please.
Thank you, Christine Ouellette. So that inventory, again to, yes, thank you, next slide. The inventory of items that we shared at ICANN 60 and now reflects the status of items according to these phases. All advice is looked at and processed through a five-phase framework, phase one being to receive, acknowledge, publish the advice, phase two to understand the advice, phase three for the board to evaluate and consider the advice, phase four, once the board considers the advice, generally they will direct the organization to move forward and implement such advice. And then finally, we move to phase five to close the advice. And this reflects the status that we shared at ICANN 60. Next slide.
Yes, this is in fact also the next agenda point. It's these are the open points that are pending ongoing community action as described below. And that's, I guess, all we have to say about it at this moment. Do you feel we miss anything? This is the list, as we, I think, both understand, is the current list of open questions, right, Manon?
Yes, thank you, Martin. And yeah, I invite GAC colleagues as well to have a close look on those open items of GAC advice so that we make sure we're all on the same page. So, any comments or we can proceed? Thank you.
Thank you, Harry Chapman, New Zealand. I was just hoping for your thoughts on what happens when the board thinks that it has considered the GAC's advice, but the GAC or some members in the GAC disagree with the implementation, or that the GAC the board has considered the advice at all.
Okay, well, basically, I guess this has happened in the past, and this is why we have now the procedure that once the communique, which is now very clearly structured, is presented to the board, shortly after we have a call between the board and the GAC to clarify the questions, not to answer them, not to negotiate or discuss, but purely to make sure that we get it well, that it's well understood. So this helps. And then we get the scorecard, which is bringing it all together very clearly. And we sent that, we discussed this again in the group. So I think we have been able to ensure that we respond to the questions rather than to something that we misunderstood by now.
Thank you, Martin, and thank you, New Zealand, for the question. And yeah, Lucevies, please.
Hi, I'm Lucevies van der Laan, also on the board. I just to follow up on this question, because this is really, maybe it's also for org. If I understand correctly, so I've been on a couple of these calls, and I do think it has improved tremendously in the 2 years since I've been on the board, because we actually say, is this what you meant? And what exactly were you aiming at? And I think it has dramatically improved the quality of the board's replies. And but if I understand correctly, the reluctance in the past to say we don't take your advice is because some kind of formal process then actually starts. So if there is no clarification during the call, and if you come back in some next stage, but I'm looking at the experts and maybe the staff can help. I think if there's a formal, actually we do not take the advice, or you think that we haven't taken the advice, some kind of process is launched, and I would like a clarification on that.
According to the handling of GAC advice by the board, we have a series of steps that are linked to, of course, the requirements of the bylaws to go through the appropriate steps for consultation, understanding, acceptance or rejection of GAC advice. And that is fairly understood in the groups handling of that by ICANN.org, and we make that and remind the board of that as we go through that. The issue, of course, is when we get a consensus advice from the GAC, the board looks at that and, in general, decides that they'll accept the advice, or if they don't accept the advice, there is then a series of formal consultations that they must go through to explain, further talk with GAC and others about that, and then finally come to a decision. If it is indeed not to be accepted, then there has to be, according to the bylaws, rationale for that reason, and to be very clear with that after an extended process to explain.
So, Manel Smail speaking. So now I think, having heard New Zealand as well, I'm wondering whether we may need to have a step, for example, to acknowledge the board scorecard after it's being received. Is this something we would like to have? I'm thinking out loud here, but yeah. So, Switzerland.
Thank you. Thank you, Manal. Jorge Cancio for the record. Sorry if I'm a bit confused, but perhaps it's the late hour and that it's already the early morning hours in Switzerland now. But going back to what you mentioned on the follow-up section we have normally in the communique, are we deciding here anything on that, or are we, because if I understood you well, the board is suggesting that we skip or that we don't use that section anymore in the communique, and that we better go through the ARR, which is another new acronym, or didn't I understand that?
So let me try to clarify a bit how things developed, because actually the board didn't ask for anything. It was just how the discussion developed. For the previous two communiques, we had this section of follow-up on previous GAC advice. We were expecting response to this, and the board consistently looked at the GAC advice to the board section only. So we were thinking whether it's better to have this section also under GAC advice to the board so that we get response to this. But then it came the discussion about the register that we now have for all things that the board receive. And those pieces of advice are already marked in the system as open. So again, we're thinking together whether we still need to follow up on previous advice or we can rely on the system. If we need to have it, then we can see where to put it in the communique so that the board do not miss it. But again, it's an interactive discussion. We're thinking together. So, yeah, Becky, please.
If I could just clarify, I think the concern was there was no follow-up to report because the open items were still open and they were in process and working. So the board didn't provide new information because there was no information to respond to. On the other hand, we are assured that we have not forgotten about the fact that there's open GAC advice that we need to respond to because we use the register for that. So it's simply a whenever there is an update on an open item on the registrar, we're going to come back with a scorecard on that. If the purpose of the follow-up in the communique is just to remind us that there's open items, then we could, although or not, we could rely on the register as the source of collective reminder and acknowledgement that the board still owes the GAC input and response. I think that's really the only discussion.
Yes. So Martin will add, and then I'll give you back the floor, Jorge.
Okay. So basically how it looks like is we have this tracking of the open things, and we have to communicate. I can imagine that if there's something in the open things you have to say, that you add that to the communique. And there's things that you may have nothing to say about. No problem, we're still tracking them. And I guess from our side, if we respond in the scorecard to the communique and on any of the open issues, we also have something to say, even if you haven't asked for it, we will. So in that way, the register helps us to keep track of the open items, and the communique is your primarily tool to communicate to the board, and the scorecard is our primarily tool to communicate back to you. Would that help?
So, Jorge?
Thank you. Jorge Cancia again, for the record. Thank you for the clarifications. So I guess this is more an issue of tracking the issues and not letting the information be dispersed or dispersed in different places. I guess that with a good meta tagging of the different parts of the communique, this could be resolved by people who are familiar with such meta tagging. But just to go to the substance, I think that when we put something in the follow-up on previous advice, it's not normally, hey, you still owe us a response on this or that, but we are adding normally some information which doesn't amount to new advice, but which may be interesting also for you to keep on developing your position and your response to that advice. So I think it's useful, but I agree that it's good to keep a good, consistent tracking of each topic. So if there's a simple and efficient way of doing that, I would agree on that.
Okay, then Franz.
Yeah, thank you, Manal. Well, I agree with Jorge. I think it's really positive to have this action request register. I think there was some confusion because in a previous slide, it was said that we might get rid of the follow-up section in GAC advice because we have the action register. But if I understood what Martin said, it's not excluding each other, because actually what we're going to do is that we're going to use the action register to check on previous GAC advice, and then using that, we might realize that the way the board reacted to previous GAC advice, for instance, is not the way we envisioned. Or, for instance, we might think that the board is not implementing the GAC advice in the way we envisioned. So we might use it and then communicate to the board in the follow-up section of the GAC advice. So my understanding is not excluding each other. Actually, we can find a way to articulate them to use the follow-up section in a better way.
I think that's correct. David?
Thank you, Franz. Yeah, David.
Thank you. To the point of, you see on the slide here, the open items seem to be shorthand, but of course behind that and within the register and in the materials that would be available, you can then find more detail, including all the language of the scorecards, and Christine can explain a little more about that.
Yes. So the inventory that the board shared with the GAC at ICANN 60 is very detailed and very comprehensive. In fact, behind these three items, there are 14 individually parsed items of advice, what would be a separate item on a scorecard today. So the board has taken action, made consideration, adopted scorecards on all 14 of these items in these three categories, for instance. And the idea is that if the board and the GAC agree that these are the items that are still pending, and by pending we mean not necessarily requiring further board action, but pending action of the community, then there isn't necessarily a need to follow up on these items as long as we agree that they're open. However, someone else's point, if there's something new to augment the advice, then that could be added under a consensus advice item, and it would be very clear for the board to understand that that was incremental advice and additional action being requested.
Thank you, Christine. Any further questions or comments before we proceed? Okay, then can we proceed, please, Christine?
Thank you, Christine Millette. So the next slide shows the items that are in implementation. So phase four is what we call our implementation phase. The board has adopted a resolution and directed implementation work to begin. Again, these items, five categories of advice, but it's 12 individual advice items. Since ICANN 60, since we presented at ICANN 60, we've moved the CCTLD string similarity item from phase three requiring further review to phase four in implementation because the board adopted a resolution on the refinement of the string similarity review. So these are the items that we're currently monitoring and are actively in implementation. So this would again be another phase of an opportunity for the board and the GAC to agree on these open items. And then the next slide will take us into the next topic, which is about new GAC member onboarding and training.
So any comments before we go to the following section of the presentation? Okay, then Rob, over to you, please.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity and was very happy to see that you all added this to the agenda for this meeting because it offered me an opportunity to jointly brief members of the board and members of the GAC, who I have briefed separately, on the issues surrounding how we can improve GAC participation and interactions with the board on a number of different levels. When I first joined and was given the opportunity to represent ICANN staff in supporting the GAC about 6 months ago, one of the things that I was told was that of all the communities within the ICANN ecosystem, the GAC was the one that experienced the term that was used to me, the highest turnover. And I didn't really understand that. And shortly after the ICANN 59 meeting, we as a ICANN GAC staff support team started to basically track the comings and goings of various members of the and participants in the GAC community. And what we found to be quite interesting was that, in fact, the anecdotal information was correct. There were, I'm sorry, I'm trying to get the slide not to jump so much. And what you see on the slide today is the latest results of our calculations. In the time between ICANN 59 and ICANN 60, we saw 51 new participants join the GAC. 40 more joined between ICANN 60 and ICANN 61. So in 6 months, we have 91 new participants in the GAC. And this is coming out of a total of 359 participants as of the 1st of February. So, I mean, literally we're seeing 38% change potentially in the membership participation of this important aspect of the ICANN community. We've also tracked departures. As you can see, those are not high, but are also quite active. 31 individuals left working with the GAC. Now, you know, there are a number of different anecdotes with relation to that. As I've reported at this meeting, we have three new members of the GAC, and so that just creates new participants. In some cases, individual members of the GAC add additional representatives. We've seen a lot of that with respect to the Public Safety Working Group, where there's been great interest in a number of the issues related to GDPR, domain abuse, and those types of areas. So there are reasons for some of these increases. But it does reflect the fact that many new individuals are beginning to participate. And one of the issues that the GAC is facing with a number of other ICANN communities is the issue of general participation. How do we encourage people not only to understand and to take the time to learn about what's going on in the various matters that are important to the community, but how can we also make those individuals productive participants in those discussions? My colleagues and I on the policy development support team frequently talk about the difference between participation and informed participation, and how much more important that informed aspect of participation can really make in terms of getting things done, moving discussions forward, and being more efficient in terms of how the work takes place. So this is basically information that we've confirmed is correct. There are changes. We're going to continue to keep tracking these numbers over time, and the hope is that over time, maybe this is a unique time period in ICANN's history where we just see a lot of turnover, or we may determine that there is a significant renewal aspect to participation in this very important community. And there are a number of reasons that we can begin to explore in terms of whether that's just the career path of someone who happens to work within the GAC, whether that reflects a changing of the guard, where a number of people are now moving on in their careers, getting promoted or retiring, or whether this reflects a change in the level of participation that governments are taking vis-a-vis ICANN. And these are all things that we hope to explore a little bit. We haven't figured out exactly how to do that, how to sort of break that code, but those are areas that we're looking at. But you wanted me to talk about training, so let me talk about that just a little bit. I'm not quite sure what's going on with the slides. I had a great slide that showed our mind mapping exercise that we engaged in since ICANN 60. Okay, well, I oversold it. It's not great, but it's interesting in terms of what we began to do just from an inventory perspective to try to get a sense of what were all the various pieces that came and were involved in training or educating or just basically bringing someone up to speed. And we found quite a large number of connections, not only within what the policy development support team does, but with what the government engagement team does, what the other groups within ICANN who touch various parts of the community are involved in terms of their work. The Global Stakeholder Engagement Team, for example, does a lot of outreach. Many of the members of the GAC, many of the participants, have much more contact with the GSE team than they do with the GAC support staff or with the GAC secretariat. And so being able to understand some of those connections are frankly going to help us to look at onboarding and training in a comprehensive way. And thank you very much to my colleague Julia Gulton, who's carefully played with that slide. I'm now ready to move on to the next one, so thanks very much for that effort. So where we are now in terms of reducing that to some more basic understanding of what things look like now is we're just basically looking at what are the areas and how can we combine some of this activity so we do look at it comprehensively. And essentially it's five major areas. It's operations, communications, resources, meetings, and programs. And we've undertaken the effort to look at this in a comprehensive way, understand where the connections are, and figure out ways to improve how they relate to each other. It's certainly important from your end and the senior teams and you as a board perspective, because we want to make ICANN more efficient. And maybe we aren't duplicating efforts that we're uncovering. It's all a matter of making things more effective and efficient in terms of how we interact with someone who's new and joining the GAC community. But it's not just newbies or newcomers. There's also a reflection, and as you look at some of the programs and activities, where it's also helpful to veterans of ICANN. A number of members of GAC leadership participated in the leadership training activity that took place a couple days here before the ICANN meeting. That's a valuable tool because it makes them more effective. So it's not just about new participants, but it's about making the existing participants even stronger. One example of what we've done in terms of trying to coordinate with other teams is we have worked very effectively over the last year with the government engagement team involving ourselves in capacity building workshop pilot program. And this is something that I've mentioned in some of the briefings to various groups, and many GAC members are familiar with this because it takes place right before an ICANN meeting and also can take place at individual meetings. But it's this concept of creating a curriculum, creating a training program that new participants on a regional basis can get involved and understand directly from their colleagues and from ICANN staff what some of the GAC issues are, what some of the aspects of GAC that are important to a government, and what's true about other aspects of the community. The slide that I got up here is the result of a survey from the most recent capacity building workshop that was just a few weeks ago in Kathmandu, where I think we had an example of almost the ideal best practice, if you will, workshop, where over a couple of days, there were members of the GAC and potential recruits who heard from one of our vice chairs, Feng Guo, from members of ICANN staff, information about what the GAC was responsible for and how it interacted with other parts of the community. This is just a very simple survey that was put together after the meeting that reflected the important issues that are important to new participants. Information about the ICANN ecosystem, policy development information, helping people connect with working groups and understand how policy development processes worked. Technical skills development to frankly learn more about how the DNS works and operates, because many members of the GAC who come to participate haven't necessarily had that as their primary responsibility in their government or in their department. And so learning more about the technical aspects of this unique architecture is important. And then important aspects of local issues, and another aspect of the pilot program, which has been law enforcement and really trying to promote the efforts that are being made to prevent domain abuse and other activities within the DNS that are bad actors. And then finally, just general education about this multi-stakeholder group model and what's happening there. So if I can just sum up sort of what we're doing as a result of a lot of this initial research, is in the short term, a lot of this work is helping us to develop ICANN Learn content, taking advantage of existing resources, leveraging those, and producing some information that people can reach out to, grab, and learn from. And the GAC is going to have a session later this week in which members of that ICANN staff team are going to be explaining some of that progress and are going to be highlighting that they're going to soon be publishing some content that people will be able to access and use. There's also going to be an assessment of the capacity building workshop pilot effort. That's due to take place around the timing of the Panama City meeting. That's important because it has potential budget and resource implications. It's been a pilot program that, frankly, the government engagement team has funded out of, you know, where they can find a few dollars here and there. If this ends up as it's proving to be an effective program, where can we find those resources to support that? We're also working with other communities. Manal and her predecessor, Thomas, have been very proactive in terms of reaching out to other communities, in particular the at-large advisory committee. You'll recall there was a joint statement in Abu Dhabi about lowering barriers to participation. There's also been some really good development work that Gilan is doing with the GNSO, that PEAR is doing with the CCNSO. And so figuring out what that liaison function is and how those groups can communicate better is a source of great interest to the GAC leadership. And to that extent, we're working with the GNSO staff to develop a pilot webinar program to allow them to, members of the GNSO, explain to interested GAC members, new and veterans, what is the GNSO, how does it work, and creating a format that we hope will be useful to them. From a longer-term perspective, as I mentioned earlier, we're going to continue to work on the demographic side to really work and learn more about how we can be better supporters of the members and participants in the GAC, and trying to help them and identify ways to leverage their brain power, their time, and their resources. Another aspect of that, and I'll conclude on this, is that we're looking at some new tools with the ICANN IT team and with the application program team to help us keep better records. You know, examining how we can truly be able to help somebody come on board, see that we're following up our checklist, that they're getting the welcoming letters at the right time, potentially being able to examine attendance activities that we currently do on a very ad hoc basis, just looking at the GNSO working group data and things like that. So that'll be a longer-term project over time. Fundamentally, though, I think this reflects a change in the approach that the GAC is taking to really trying to work hard on operationalizing and working on getting more people involved at a high informed level. And I'm looking forward to giving you all individually and collectively briefings in the future on how we're progressing on these efforts. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Rob. So any questions to Rob? Yes, please, Martin.
So why it's on this agenda? Because this is board GAC relations. I think one of the things that you may find with turnover of people is that there's always this mystic relationship with other bodies. With the webinar pilot, with GNSO, I mean, you take away some of that because communication is what it does. And so I can see that it may be even useful to have, prior to next ICANN meetings, a webinar where you have the opportunity for new GAC members or indeed other GAC members just to interact and to hear about intent, not about specific issues, not negotiations, but just see how we together with our passion form this community and make it happen as a smooth way into the work that needs to be done. So that was one of the thoughts that we had when we talked about it and why it's here on the agenda as well. David, you wanted to add something?
Yes, Manal and Martin, just to go over what I have heard in terms of action items from this discussion, if I may, and see if that's the correct interpretation. In terms of the timetable, we presented the timetable for the consideration of the GAC communique for ICANN 61 according to the various weeks. We hope to have it as soon as 4 to 8 weeks out before the next ICANN meeting. The second item would be in terms of the communique structure to keep it as is and use the new tracking tool for OpenGAC advice, though if additional information is needed to contribute to these open advice through a consensus view, we'd be obviously welcome to hear that in the GAC communique. The third item was, using this new tool for OpenGAC advice, which has all the details and the parsing of the information. That is a way to keep track of that, and we'll be reminding on people of that. And finally, to provide then the final full information of the historic GAC advice, which is considered done, closed, if you will, based on board actions. And those would be the four I have taken away. I hope that is about right.
Thank you very much, David. I think this is a fair summary. Any comments or remarks from GAC colleagues? If not, then I would like France, please.
Yeah, thank you, Manal. Well, just very quickly, I just wanted to thank Rob for the presentation, and I can only agree that, you know, new GAC participant training, webinars that explain how ICANN is structured, because, you know, we know the acronyms, but if you're new GAC members and you're basically bombarded with new acronyms, sometimes it's just hard to get on board. So I think these kind of trainings are extremely important, and as Martin said as well, you know, meeting with the ICANN board, for instance, for new GAC members, not negotiating, but just talking about how ICANN is structured in a very informal way, I think is extremely useful, and will help also GAC to understand how the ICANN is structured and to also communicate with other parts of the community, including GNES. So I think it's definitely a very good idea, and we should try to implement that.
Thank you, Gillen. I cannot agree more. So,
okay. Somebody there?
Yeah,
Luis, please.
Thank you very much. I mean, less than 2.5 years ago, I was brand new to the ICANN community, so I can feel very much how daunting it can be if you're new to try to fully find your footing and to be able to be an active and contributing member of the community. And I just want to say that I've been very impressed within the board by the incredible desire of the board to make sure that the GAC can fully participate. And we understand that individual GAC members are under incredible pressure. I mean, sometimes ICANN is only one of many dossiers that you have to do, and it's not always easy to find within your ministry or department the support. So why do you have to fly to another one of these meetings, and why do you have to do all these things? These are incredibly challenging circumstances, and I have a strong feeling that inside the board that whatever we can do to help facilitate that, to make sure that we cooperate, that we have a dialogue, but also that we know each other. There are so many new people. You know, Gisela and I were even thinking maybe we can just arrange cocktail receptions regionally or something like that, just so that we can really get to know each other and do more than just shake hands, but actually have a conversation. So we would love to make sure that we deepen that relationship so that we can all play our part in, you know, in our shared mission to keep the internet working. So, thank you.
Thank you, Luzavis. I think it's a great idea. Martin, please.
Yeah, no, I think thanks for this meeting. I think the fifth point to the four action points is let's try before a webinar to plan it before Panama, just with BGRI presence and all those new board members that would like to just call in for an informal conversation. Yeah? Well, with that, I think we've been very efficient, Manal.
So, with that, this concludes our BGRI working group discussion. Thanks to everyone. Thanks to board members who took out of their time and busy schedules. And thanks to GAC colleagues who survived a very long day and long discussions. And many thanks to the interpreters as well. Thank you all. And we start tomorrow at 8:30. I have to say that there are board discussions on GDPR. I will have to attend those discussions again because this is a topic of interest to the GAC. So my very capable GAC leadership colleagues will be filling in for me. Thanks to all of you. And I'll be back during the afternoon session. So thank you all.
Thank you all.